Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Wednesday, May 10th, 2017. We have about 19 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. Our marine weather forecast includes north winds today, gusting to 15 knots in the afternoon. And today we're going to talk about plans for the first all-electric, ballast-free, autonomous container ship. And I'll explain what all that means in a minute. It's kind of a big deal considering how much container ships pollute and all ships pollute. This is kind of a trend in the industry toward reducing pollution in ships, but this ship is pretty amazing. It has, will have, if it's able to do what the design says, it will be emission free. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have three inbounders. We have seven in the Astoria anchorage. We have three in the Rice Island anchorage, and we have five outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Global Innovator. She's arriving from Japan, headed for Astoria's anchorage. Excuse me. She's going upriver to pick up wheat. She'll arrive in the Astoria anchorage a bit after noontime. The Red Fin is arriving from Port Angeles, headed for Vancouver's anchorage. She's going to the port of Portland eventually to pick up potash, but she's anchoring in the Vancouver anchorage, which is in the Columbia River between the ports of Vancouver and Portland, which are opposite sides of the river from one another up in that part of the river. So she will pass Astoria around 1:30 p.m. You might see her in Vancouver by about maybe 7:30 this evening. The Castor Leader is a car carrier, and when you see that word leader in a ship, the ships that come in here at any rate, it means that they're generally a car ship, one of those big high-sided vessels. She's arriving from Richmond, headed for Vancouver. Subaru's on board there. She'll pass Astoria around 6:30 p.m. and arrive in Vancouver a little bit after midnight, early Thursday morning. In the Astoria anchorage off the downtown waterfront, all of our ships there are awaiting orders today. They are the Ken Hu, the La Bamba, the Milagro, which has been sitting there for a while. I really like that word, Milagro. I think it means miracle. But I keep saying it over and over again because that ship is not moving. Some reasons for that could be that she might have failed an inspection on her cargo holds, or she may have mechanical problems, or she may have some sort, she may be waiting for a berth that has another ship in it, which sometimes happens. If she's going up there for a specific place to a specific berth and there's somebody else in there, the ships just have to wait until that clears out. So a lot of what happens down here is dependent on what happens at upriver ports that we don't see here in Astoria. Or even in Portland, you really don't, or Vancouver, you really don't see what's going on at the port unless you know where to stand and look and see ships coming and going. It's a pretty invisible thing, as we've talked about many times on this show. So SBI Bolero, Ariana, MG Sakura, MP Kamsar Max 1. Kamsar Max is the name of a company that owns ships, by the way. It sounds kind of an odd word, but I was looking through a maritime magazine the other day and saw the Kamsar Max Corporation, I think. So all those ships are awaiting orders. Eventually, they too will move on upriver to pick up cargo. You'll see them sitting with a lot of bottom paint showing because they don't have any cargo on board. And when they come downriver, they'll be hunkered down more in the water because the weight of that cargo will lower them down to their water lines. Their cargo loading water lines. In the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, those three ships that were there yesterday are still there, the Navios Mercury, the Olympus, and the Ecola. And our outbounders, the Star Japan, is headed for Longview, is leaving Longview, rather, headed for the Columbia River Bar. She's I think she's carrying logs. Departing around 12:30 p.m., we might see her around 6:30 past Astoria outbound. The new boundary is leaving Kalama, carrying corn, soy, or wheat, leaving around 12:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 6:30. The new history is leaving Portland carrying wheat at about 12:30 p.m. and passing Astoria outbound around 6:30 p.m. The Kensei is leaving Kalama with wheat around 5 p.m. and maybe 10 p.m. past Astoria outbound. And the African Sito is leaving Portland with soda ash on board from the port of Portland, leaving around 10 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 4 p.m. So in our marine weather forecast, we've got wind waves from the north, 2 feet at 4 seconds, west swells, 7 feet at 13 seconds. Well, I was looking at the GCaptain website, which I just love to look at. It's gcaptain.com, and if you're a marine news geek like I am, just look at that site. It's very fun. There's all sorts of marine stuff going on there, and I'm always scanning that to see if there's something that I can share with you that's of interest, that I could look at a local angle, or just plain share the story with you. And this is a very interesting one that relates to, in a general way, to all the ships that we see here on the Columbia. I'll read you a story from Reuters that I referenced from GCaptain. Norwegian fertilizer producer Yara and maritime technology firm Kongsberg Group are teaming up to build what they say will be the world's first fully electric and self-steering container ship. The new zero-emissions vessel will be a game-changer for global maritime transport, contributing to meet the United Nations sustainability goals, the company said on Tuesday. Automobile makers and technology companies are already working on the development of self-driving cars and trucks, as well as electric vehicles. The planned autonomous container feeder will cut emissions from road transport when it starts shipping products from Yara's Porsgrunn plant to Norway's Brevik and Larvik ports, so between ports in Norway, for global deliveries in 2018, the companies said. But their idea is to have ultimately an unmanned emission-free vessel with no ballast in it either. So no ballast water tanks the way we traditionally think of it. So let's just talk about this for a minute. First of all, what does the zero emissions mean? Well, zero emissions means, according to the company, that it is going to be an all-electric vessel. I tried to get more information about that, like how it gathers the information, I mean, the energy that goes into its batteries. I don't know if it's solar or what. I'll see if I can find more about that. There wasn't a whole lot available. The ballast-free part, if you're familiar with the ballast systems on ships at all or heard me talk about it, ships now generally take on water when they don't have cargo on board. They need something to add weight and stability, so they take on what's called ballast water. It's just water that's around the ship wherever they are. They gather it into tanks. It gives them the illusion in terms of physics of having cargo on board. The ship sits lower in the water and is more stable, and they can safely go from one place to another if they don't have cargo on board or they don't have enough cargo on board. So this causes a problem because if you take ballast water on, it has organisms and critters in it from the local area. It can go and be expelled in another port and cause invasive species issues. So that's a big problem. It's a problem in the industry. This ballast-free system that they are planning for this ship gets rid of that system and introduces a system where the ship is, when it is traveling in the open ocean with salt water, is constantly funneling salt water through a system in the ship and out the other end. So the water never really stays there, and it's always salt water. So if they're expelling it in port, it won't. Salt water and freshwater critters don't tend to exchange well, so anything in salt water would die in a freshwater environment, is the theory. So this is the technology they're planning here. The autonomous mooring part is a little scary, but the idea is like a self-driving car, that the ship would come up to a dock and automatically moor itself with big magnets. I've read about this. And so this is the prototype. This is an idea that perhaps its time has come. I don't know. But that's the plan for this. And if this is the case, if they were even able to do part of this, it would begin shifting something in the maritime industry they've been problems for a long time, ballast water emissions. The mooring part, well, that would take away people's jobs if that ever became really smooth, because longshoremen are employed docking ships using lines at this point. So at any rate, this would solve a big problem, begin to solve a big problem with the huge and amazing use of hundreds of tons of bunker fuel, very, very toxic and polluting bunker fuel on ships. You know, I've talked about this, 360 tons of fuel a day on a container ship. So this is a very interesting development. The autonomous part here in these parts, where you really do need a smart, astute, experienced person at the helm of a ship, I don't know if that would work in the Columbia because of the very dynamic area we have here. But in places where ships go long distances across the ocean, that kind of a ship might really work in some instances. And so it's an interesting turning point in the maritime industry. We'll see how this goes. I'll keep you posted. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Have a great day.